Okay, this is enrollment verification week, which means I've got to know you're in the class. So, if you haven't passed in any homework, and you haven't been signing attendance sheet, and you haven't been mailing me email, then I'm going to drop you. So, and that's mostly said for those at home, because obviously if you're sitting here, you're signing the attendance sheet. But I need to know that people are in the class. And there's probably four or five people in my two 120 classes that I haven't heard from. So they need to get in touch with me. The other thing is, I'm asking you to read chapter one in the book if you bought it. If you didn't buy it, that's fine. Number one, you can go to Amazon and get most of chapter one in the look at part of Amazon. And number two, I've put a whole lot of articles out here that if you read will be comparable to what you would get out of chapter one. And in fact, I'd read them even if you read chapter one, because it's good backup, it's good extra, some of them get into some extra information. So I would read these things, or read the book, or best read both. Okay? So, we have now wrapped up Amazon. Access, that's with A. We've wrapped up Access. We're going to go back to Access to the end of the semester and look at multiple tables. But for now, we've wrapped up Access, and so you need to do the work and give it to me. If you're having problems with it, please come and see either Lindsay or Dave or me, and we will try to get you caught up. Lindsay's getting a lot of homework done in the labs because nobody's coming to give her any work to do, so please, if you're having problems, go see her. Okay, what we're going to do today is we're starting logic. Okay, so logic is the basis on which programs are written. You have to understand the logic to solve problems. And usually programmers will try to work out the logic using either a flowchart or pseudocode. Okay, we've looked at flowcharts. This is an example of pseudocode, where you basically write out the steps that you want to take to solve the problem, but you don't use a specific computer language. You're just writing it out in English. And then you're going to eventually turn it into a computer program. At one point, they decided that they would try to break up a programmer's job into the logic part and the coding part. That didn't work out very well, but some companies tried it. But when they did do the breakup, the ones that were paid the most would be the logic people. Because solving the problem and figuring out the logic to solve the problem is the hardest part. Once you have figured out the logic, then if you know a computer language, taking that logic and putting it into the language is relatively easy compared to working out the solution to the problem. So logic is critical, and for complex problems especially, programmers will think through the logic before they even start programming. So we're going to spend the next couple of weeks doing logic, and then we will start implementing that in a programming language. So, to start out with, I'm looking at the practice exercise on your week of. There is something called practice exercise, and you want to click on that, and this is what comes up. Okay, so, in this practice exercise, the first thing I'm doing is I have a bunch of what are called variables. And these are fields that if I was writing a program, I would establish those variables and they would be stored in memory someplace. Okay? Where they get stored, we don't know and we don't care. As long as we refer to them by name, they can be found. Back in the days of machine language, You actually had to pick a place in memory to store them, but that's not true now. Okay, so I've got variables. And what I'm doing is assigning, so this is an assignment sign. I am assigning a number to those variables. Okay, that is not considered an equal sign, it's considered an assignment sign. Because you can have something on the right, and we'll see it as we go down here, that is not actually equal to what's on the left. For example, I'm taking the variable first num and saying multiply it by 2. That is not equal to first num. First num is not equal to first num times 2. So what I'm actually saying there is take the variable first num, take the content, take what's in it, multiply it by 2, and assign it back to first num. Put it back into first num. So basically what I'm doing is I'm doing the calculation on the right, and I'm saying where I want to put the result of the calculation on the left. So I'm saying take the variable first num, multiply it by 2, and put it back into first num. Now, these four things where I'm assigning are called housekeeping or initialize. Something like that, because they're getting ready to go. They're getting ready to process. So they're called the housekeeping. Now, when I set up a variable name, I should not have an embedded space. And I made a mistake here. There's an embedded space. And I left it mainly to remember to tell you not to do what I did. In pseudocode, it doesn't matter because pseudocode is for people to see the logic. It's not for the computer. The computer would care. And as you can see down here, when I used the result again, I didn't have the embedded space. I just made the mistake up there. Okay? So you should not have embedded spaces in your field names. So now I've got these variables that I've set up. And I've got first num, and I'm assigning the value 100 to it. And then I've got second num, and I'm assigning the value 5 to it. And then I've got third num, and I'm assigning the value 12 to it. And then I've got the result, and I'm assigning the value 0 to that. Okay, now I'm writing those out as if they were being stored in memory, and I'm going to manipulate them as if I have access to them in memory. Okay? So I've got 10, 5, 12, and 0. Okay. Now, to be able to be called a programming language, programming, I-N-G, there are basically three things you have to be able to do. You have to be able to process instructions in sequence. So up here, when I said assign 100 to first num, then I went down to the next one and said assign 5, then the next one, then the next one. That's sequence. I'm going one at a time through them. I also have to be able to have repetition. And repetition is loops. Okay, so I have to be able to have repetition. And I have to be able to have conditions, which are if statements. Now, that's why HTML is not a programming language. It's a markup language, hypertext markup language, because it doesn't support repetition and it doesn't support conditions. It does support sequence. It goes through one instruction at a time. So it's not a programming language. And we will see in a few weeks when you add JavaScript, which is a programming language, to HTML, then you've got a website that can have conditions and loops. Okay, so we're going to start and go through the logic here. We've assigned the things, and now we're at the statement that says, do while second known is less than or equal to third known. Okay, so here is the do, here is the end of the do while loop. So essentially, a loop means if that condition is true, it will execute what's inside. And then when it hits the end, it will go back and see if it should do it again. And it's going to check the condition to see if it should do it again. And it will keep looping back, checking to see if it should do it again. An if statement has an if, and then an else, and then an end if. When it executes and hits the end if, it's done. It doesn't loop, it's done. So an if statement is going to ask the question, and if they get a yes, they'll do one set of things, and if they get a no, they'll do the else. So if I do the if, and I ask a question, if the question is true, in this case, if first num is greater than 500, then I do the statements under the if. If the statement is not true, I go to the else, and I do the statements there. And the end if terminates the if statement. Okay, now you don't have to have an else. If you don't want to do anything, if the condition's not true, you don't have to have an else. But I'd say the majority of times you do have an else. Okay, so that's saying, if this is true, do these things, else do something else. So I'm starting out, and I'm saying, do while second num is less than or equal to third num. So it checks. Is second num less than or equal to third num? Somebody answer.
Yes.
Yes. 5 is less than or equal to 12, right? So the contents of second num is 5. The contents of third number is 12. And 5 is less than 12. So that means I'm going to go inside the loop and execute. And the first question I get there is first num greater than 500? Is it?
No.
No. So where am I going to go?
Else.
I'm going to go to the else. And at the else I say, take first num, add 100 to it, and put it back in first num. So what's first num going to be now?
200.
And then I say, take second num, add 1 to it. I'm sorry, take third num, I'm reading wrong. Take third num, subtract 1 from it. Is that it? Subtract 1 from it. And I now have 11. Okay, so is first num greater than 500? No. Take first num, add 100 to it, put it back in first num. Take third num, subtract 1 from it, and put it back in third num. Then I hit the end if. So the if is now over. Then I hit the end loop, which says go back and check again. So I go back and check. Is second num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes, so I'm going into the loop. Is first num greater than 500?
No.
No. So I'm going to do the else, which means this becomes 300, and third num becomes 10. So first num became 300, and third number became 10. And if, end loop, so I loop back, is the second number still less than or equal to third number?
Yes.
Okay. 5 is less than 10, right? So I go in. Is first num greater than 500?
No.
No. So I take first num, add 100 to it, and that becomes 400, and this becomes 9. Third num becomes 9. because it had 10 in it. When I subtract 1, it's 9. And if, and loop, and I loop back. Do while second num is less than or equal to third num, is it?
Yes.
Yes, so I go in. Is first num greater than 500?
No.
No. So I add 100, this becomes 500 in first num, and 9 minus 1 is 8 in third num. Okay, I loop back. Is second num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes. Is first num greater than 500?
No.
No. It is 500, but it's not greater than. So I'm adding 100 again to first num, getting it up to 600, and I'm subtracting, going to 7 in third num. So now I go back. Is second num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes. Is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
Yes. So now I'm saying take first num and multiply it by 2. So what does first num become?
1200.
And take second num and add 1 to it. So it's now 6. And if, and loop, and I go back, is second num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes. So I go in, is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
So I now have what in first num?
2400.
And what else changed?
Second num.
Has become what?
Seven.
Second num has become 7. Okay? So I drop out and I go back and I ask, is second num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes, it's equal. So I drop in. Is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm now up to 4,800 in first num. And second num is now 8. So I drop out of the if. I go back to the loop. Is second num less than or equal to third num?
No.
No. So I go down and drop out of the loop. I'm now done with the loop, and I pick up the instruction right after the end loop. And so it says the result is first num plus second num plus third num. So 8 and 7 is 15, 48, 15. Okay? So the result is 48, 15, and I display that either on a screen or I may display it on paper. Okay? But I've gotten the answer. Questions? Okay? So I really just followed precisely what it said. If there was something between the end if and the end while, I would have executed that before I got to the end while. Okay? So I follow it sequentially, one statement at a time, until I get to the if, and then I choose whether I'm doing the true or the false, depending on the answer. And then the loop, I loop back and always check to see if I should do it again. Okay? Questions? Okay, then you do problem 2. And I strongly recommend paper and pencil. Technology ain't gonna work doing this.
So that means every time we go through the loop, you're going to increase the fee. And then go check the condition. So when you exit the loop, you go back and enter the loop again when we have this condition.
So as you keep on adding CT, of course, at some point, the condition's not going to be true. You're not going to enter the loop and you're going to do that part, right?
Does that mean you think you have an answer?
I think I do.
What is it?
1160.
Nope. Which could mean either logic or just plain old arithmetic.
Possibly.
Did you catch that this was a time sign down here?
No.
I have people do that. His answer might be right if he does the last part.
I missed that.
And it also makes you appreciate computers. They can do it right. They don't make arithmetic mistakes, etc. So isn't it nice? Computers will do this. Close. But I think you've got a math problem someplace along the line. This is what it is. I can't imagine doing that in your head. Do you need a paper and pencil?
I don't have my work.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, yeah, I can't.
You have to add one to count, and then immediately go back up here and check to see if you should do it. And if count is still less than six, you do it all again. Okay? Yeah. No, she's coming. Question behind you, since you're down there. Arithmetic errors.
Just
a
new order of operations wrong.
Yeah, that happens.
So you got the right answer now?
32-430.
Yeah. So now you get to be bored for the next 10 or 15 minutes. So the answer to problem two is 132-430, but I want you to keep working on it. Come up with it,
and then I would go. But yeah, if you do it in a calculator, like if you put the word of operation, I think something was wrong. You do your multiplication before your addition.
So that was that your only problem? Was the order of operations?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. mean, the frustrating thing can be that you just made an arithmetic problem. You multiplied my two wrong or something like that.
It's a pain when you do it way up, though. Like, if you're in the first loop, the first or second, and then you're trying to find your error.
How's it coming, guys? Well, the important thing is not getting the right answer as much as understanding how it's proceeding. Because you can make a arithmetic error where you multiply by two and you know perfectly well how to multiply by two, but that will throw it off. So the important thing is understanding the sequence and the logic and how the instructions work, rather than getting the right number. It's nice to get the right number too, but that's why we have computers. They can get the right number. So I'll give you just a couple of more minutes and then I'm going to go over it.
Out of the loop, if you're if it's giving you an amount that you're gonna jump zero.
It's not even math, it's arithmetic.
Yeah,
arithmetic is one of those daily challenges. Does anybody think they're close, that they just need a minute or two more, or shall we start going over it? Huh? Okay. So, I'm going to start this one, and I've got... First num is 25. And second num is 50. And third num is 75. And fourth num is 100. And then I've also got count, which is 0, work answer, which starts at 0, and the answer, which starts at 0. Okay, so I've got those variables set up in memory. And I can use those variables to solve my problem. So again, I've got a loop that ends with the undo. And again, that doesn't mean it ends. It means it goes back and checks to see if it should do it again. Okay? Whereas the end if really is an end. That means the if is done. Okay, so an end if ends the if. But an end loop means go back and check and see if I should do it again. So I start out and it says do while count is less than 6. That looks like a 6, but it's supposed to be a 0. Okay, so do while count is less than 6. Count started out at 0, so clearly it's less than 6. Then the next statement going down in sequence, because I entered the loop because count is less than 6, is to take first num, second num, add them together, and put it in work answer. So what should work answer be now? 75. Okay? So then I do a test. I drop down to the next sequential thing, and I do a test. Is work answer greater than third num? No. So what does that mean that I'm going to do?
First
the else. Okay, because work ants are greater than third num. Work ants are 75, third num is 75, they're the same. So I go to the else, and the else says, take first num, add 10 to it, and put it back in first num. So what's first num going to be? 35. What's second num going to be? 60. What is third num going to be?
85.
Okay, so I've added 10 to all of them. And now I hit the end if. So the if is done. Okay, but I keep dropping, and the next thing says, take count, add one to it, and put it back in count. Okay, and that's a real example of this is an assignment sign. Because I'm saying take count, add one to it, put it back in count. Count is clearly not equal to count plus one. But I'm going to set it so that it is equal to count plus one. So I'm doing the calculation, count plus one, and then assigning it back to count. So I add one to count, and then I hit the undo. And so when I hit the undo, I loop back to see if I should do it again. And the condition is count less than six? Yes, it is. So I go in and I do the first thing, which is add first num, second num, and put it in work answer. So what's work answer going to be? 95. Okay. And then I make the check. Is work answer greater than third num? Yes. So what am I going to do there? I go to the if. Okay, because work answer is greater. So I do those four commands under the if. The first command says, take fourth num, divide it by two, and put it back into fourth num. So fourth num is now a 50. And then it says, take first num, multiply it by 3 and put it back into first num. So what's first num going to be? 105. And then it says, take first num, subtract second num, and put that, and sign that to second num. So first num is 105 minus second num, which is 60, and put that back into second num. So what is second num going to become? 45. Okay, because first num is 105, subtract 60, that's 45, and assign it to second num, so that becomes 45. Okay, and then the third one says, now take third num, multiply it by 2, and put it back into third num. So this becomes what? 170. Okay? So that's the end of the if statement. Because I don't do the else was only if the if statement wasn't true. So I drop out, I add one to count, and I hit the undo, which says go back and check again. Okay? So when I go back and check again, count is, I'm asking, is count less than six? And yes, it is. So I go in and I say, okay, first num plus second number go into work answer. So what goes into work answer?
150.
Okay. First num plus second num, put it into work answer. So it's now 150. And then I said, is work answer greater than third num? No. So what does that mean I do? Yep, I go to the else. And the else basically has me adding 10 to first num, 10 to second num, and 10 to third num. I'm putting them all back into first num, second num, and third num. So this becomes 115, this becomes 55, and this becomes 180. right? Okay, so now I am done with the if. I add one to count, and I loop back. And when I loop back, it's saying, okay, is count less than six? Yes, it is. What's work answer this time? Pardon?
1 second. 1 second.
Okay, 115 plus 55 is 170. Okay, so now I check. Is work answer greater than third num? No. So that means I take the else, right? And in the else, we already figured out I'm going to add 10 to first num, 10 to second num, and 10 to third num. Because again, it says first num plus 10, assign it to first num. Take first num, add 10 to it, assign it to first num. So that's 125, that's 65, and that's 190. Okay. So now I've done that, and I'm adding one to count. And I loop back. Is count less than six? Yes, it is. So now I'm going to figure out what work answer is. What is it this time? 190. 125 plus 65, so it's 190. Okay. And then I say, is work answer greater than third num? No. So I go to the else, and again I add 10 to first num, second num, and third num. So I've got 135, 75, and 200. Okay. And so then I come down and I add one to count. And I go back. Is count less than six? Yes. What's work answer now?
210.
Because work answer equals first num plus second num. The content of first num is 135. The content of second num is 75, so that's 210. So work answer is now 210. Okay. So now I am checking, is work answer greater than third num? Yes. So that means I go in and I say fourth num equals fourth num divided by 2. So what's fourth num now? 25. And then I say, okay, first num times 3, assign that. So what does this become? 405. Okay, people in the back, start asking some questions. What's the next one? Second num equals first num minus second num. Notice I read that as equal, but I know better. Because you read that as equal 99% of your life. Here it's just an assign sign, so I'm supposed to be saying assign. Okay, what did I just do? I did the first times 3, right? So I'm at the, what is second num? That's where you get into trouble, is you veto off the talk, you can't remember where you were. Okay, so first num minus second num, and put it into second num. So what is that?
330.
And what's the next one? What's third num now?
400?
Yep. Okay, so that has finished me here. So I now come down to count and I add one to count. And so I go back. Do all count is less than six? Is it less than six? No, it's equal to six. So that means since it no longer meets the condition, I drop out of the loop. I'm done with the loop. I drop out of it. And that means that I do the next thing, which is the instruction right after the loop. And that one says, take first num plus second num times third num plus fourth num. Out of operations tells me that I do this first. So I've got 400 times 330. 0002. Okay, so that's what I have there. Is I have 132,000. And then I need to add in first num and second num. So I'm adding in 405. And I'm adding in, what other one was it? First num and fourth num. So I'm adding in 25. So I get 132,430. Questions? Do you understand the logic? I mean, that's the thing that I basically want you to understand, is how this works. If you don't have the exact right answer, it's probably because you made a mistake somewhere here in the math. And then I am writing, have 1 through 3, and I'm actually, the comma's not there. Commas are not saved in math. So the answer is going to be 132,430. Now, when I display it, I can put commas in. If it's money, I can put dollar signs in. But I do that when I'm displaying it. When I'm doing calculations, I leave it as pure math. Okay, so if we look at this, it helps us to understand a little bit of how things work, okay? The if statement, as we said before, asks a question. And then I have what I want to do if it's a yes or true, and what I want to do if it's a no or false. And the else is what you put in here. So I put the stuff below the if in the yes. So this is the yes, and this is the no. Okay, that's the yes and that's the no. The else separates them. The end if ends the whole if. If I don't have an else, in other words, if there's nothing I want to do, if it's not true, then the end if would be used to end the if. If I didn't want to do anything, if I didn't get a yes, if I wanted to do nothing over here, then I would not have to have an else. I would simply have the end if after the if statements, after the statements after the if. And now a loop, this do while that I'm doing here, is a loop. And that means that I will do it over and over again. Now there's three conditions that I need to make a loop work. First, I have to set my variable. Or it might be variables. In the first one, I set two variables, second num and third num I'm using. In the next one, I use count as my variables. So I'm setting my variables. The variables that I'm using to do the condition. So the next thing I need is I need to check to see if I need to do the loop. So I am doing a check of the variable. And that's a condition. And it's telling me do the loop or don't. Condition, and I need to check the variable. Okay, so with count, I was checking and saying, is count less than 6? Okay, so I keep checking. And when count is no longer less than 6, I get out. So I need to check the variable. The third thing I need to do, what would the third thing be, do you think? Okay, what if I took out the statement, county will count plus one? What would happen to this loop if I took that out? Yeah.
It would go forever.
It would go forever. If I don't take county, and I've done that. When I was a beginning programmer, at least I would like to say it was beginning, we had a printer. That was back in the days when computers were this high and printers were this high, etc. The printer was in a separate room. The guy that was running the print area came out and handed me a pile of paper this big, and I'd written exactly the same thing on every piece of paper, okay? Because I hadn't checked to get out of my loop. So I was processing. I didn't do something to get out of the loop. I wrote the first name in the file like 1,000 times, okay? So, and that's because I didn't check. I didn't change my variable. So I need to make a change to variable. Because if I don't change it, I go on forever. Okay, so I've got to change the variable. And I change it by saying add one to count. That changes the variable. Up here, depending on the if statement, I either change second or I change third. And my condition is comparing second and third. And so I change one of them. I change either second or third. And that means that I am changing the condition. Because if I change one of the variables, or both of the variables in that case, I'm changing the answer to the condition. It may still be true, but it's different numbers that it's checking. So with a do loop, I need to set the variable, I need to check it, and I need to change it. Okay? And so in the case of count, I am setting count to zero, I'm checking for count less than six, and I'm adding one to count. Okay? So I'm going through and changing it. The other thing is, I started doing this and I didn't finish it up. And I didn't finish it in the other class either. This is the housekeeping. Or initializing. This is processing. And these two statements here are my wrap-up. Okay? Those two statements are my wrap-up. So initializing or housekeeping are the things that I do once at the beginning. I set my variables once. Okay? So that I'm doing at the beginning. Then the processing is something that's usually involving loops, and I'm doing over and over and over again. And then when I'm all done processing, I'm doing the wrap-up, which is adding my results and displaying. So I'm wrapping things up, okay? Now, that part, depending on how you look at it, some people might say that there isn't really any wrap-up there, that that's part of the processing. And you can argue it both ways, okay? But since I want to say it's wrap-up because I want all three parts, I'm going to call it wrap-up. Okay, but you can argue it both ways. Okay. Amazing. We have 8 minutes left. So, I am going to call it quits because the next topic is longer than 8 minutes and I don't want to do half of it and then leave it. So we are going to call it quits. Yes. Yep. Oh, there's Lindsay. So is it okay if she looks? Okay. Then I'll be back and look in just a minute.